Welcome to Two Chicks, Three Seats, the podcast that takes a look at the hospitality industry's hottest topics.
Two Chicks, Three Seats is hosted by Kate Kennedy and Rachel Calkins and is brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader in event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Triple Seats podcast, Two Chicks, Three Seats. Today, we are joined by Lawrence Brown, Senior Insight Manager at CAM Research and Insights in London. For those who are unfamiliar, CAM conducts research within the hospitality and food service sectors in order to provide valuable and actionable insight solutions to their clients. As we continue growing our Triple Seat customer base in the UK, we have been working with CAM to learn insights that we can share with others in the hospitality and events industry. We're so excited to have Lawrence here today to talk about a recent research study that was conducted about hospitality venues can prepare themselves for the upcoming festive holiday season, along with some other consumer trends for the festive season as well. So welcome to the show, Lawrence.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So to kick us off, and so our listeners can learn a little bit about you, can you tell us a bit about your background and your experience with the CAM team?
Yeah, so you've already described what CAM does really, really well. So I work on the Insight team. So doing these projects essentially to provide kind of valuable, actionable insight that drives change. So that's with hospitality venues, tech partners, brands. My background is very much research, more fun than it sounds, I promise. So previously in the retail space, so for Tesco, so that's kind of like the Walmart equivalent in the UK. So looking at kind of loyalty card data as well. So really getting to grips with what the customer or the consumer wants.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we have 2 months until Christmas, which is absolutely insane.
Exciting.
I'm about to switch over. Do you guys Halloween in the UK? There's a question that you do.
Yeah, it's a good one. I actually went for a walk yesterday. Not to trick or treat, but just to see it all. So yeah, I do that every year, but I'm far too old to be getting snacks.
Well, I love how the UK like quickly goes from Halloween to Christmas. Like November 1st is Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm jealous because literally, like, if I didn't feel crazy, I would decorate my house on November 1st. But it's not as not as like normal in the US to do that. So, anyways, it's 2 months away, which is not a lot of time. So Lawrence, tell us more about how consumers and venues alike are preparing for Christmas events and socializing.
Yeah, so I don't think it would be too dissimilar to the US, although I haven't looked at it. I mean, we go pretty big on it. I think it's one of those things that, despite kind of over the past few years, which we don't need to go on to around difficulties being able to see family and friends, I think if anything, people are kind of more excited for it now as an opportunity to get together because we haven't been able to celebrate it how we wanted to for 2 years. So, I mean, look, it's big Christmas parties with work. So we did some research with kind of a nationally representative sample, and 36% are going to Christmas parties in venues. You've got around half of people are going to visit pub, bar, or and another half kind of going to restaurants. And that is just over the Christmas period. We've got a word, which I don't know if you have, or called kind of silly season, which essentially is, I mean, to be honest, it starts pretty much soon, as you said, after Halloween. So although some of our research asks people what they're doing over that really specific Christmas period, actually, it really does start now, because obviously not every business can do their Christmas party in the week before, and you've got school holidays and people going away. So actually Christmas parties start sort of from mid-November, and actually at CAM we even do our Christmas party after Christmas. So it really is sort of, I'd probably say, a big 2 month period where we're kind of looking to celebrate it within hospitality. Is that the same for you guys in the US or not so much?
We do our party we do our Christmas party in January as well. So we've done it in February too, like once.
Yeah.
So I think it is similar here because, like you said, there's so much stuff that goes on during the Christmas season
in general
that I feel like a lot of corporate events happen after because they can't find a date that works for everybody. So
I think you kind of have, I mean, you've got your family would be around that immediate kind of Christmas period. You've then probably got your friends, which is around that, but they obviously are spending time with their own families. You've got them kind of maybe 2 weeks out, and then you've got your work corporate style thing a long way out, which is great for venues. It's why it's such a kind of massive period. And yeah, we go pretty hard, and maybe not so much on the street decorations. And I'm basing that purely off movies. But yeah, we do go pretty hard from a socializing perspective.
Can you define the silly season? Like, is it a specific set of days, just so our US listeners understand a little bit better too?
I don't want this to be like quoted. This might just be something within my kind of friendship group, but we kind of see it as soon as that first event happens, which you could deem kind of a Christmas get together. I think with the clocks changing, which I know you guys is this weekend for us last weekend, that really kind of signifies those darker nights. It's a bit colder. I'm sure you've all got images of that traditional like British pub, but yeah, just that cozy kind of feeling, that really is the start of silly season in my eyes. But I don't think that's a widely used term, but maybe it will be after this.
Love it.
I know John on our team uses the term silly season, and I feel like I was like, what do we mean by here again? He said it in a comment, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure about that one, but maybe it was a typo.
Yeah.
I love that. Anything around drinking in a warm pub with a roaring fire, really, I'm all about that.
Do you have those pubs, or is that just like, I know you have like Irish pubs, but I guess they're quite different.
We have Irish pubs. Like Boston has a ton of Irish pubs, and some of them do have that vibe. But I don't think, like, I feel like nothing that feels like that. Probably in like we just got back from Jackson Hole. We were there for a work trip, and I feel like they probably, places like Aspen, Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
Places, I'm sure they do. Vermont does. Like, I'm in New England, so there are places in like New Hampshire, Vermont that feel like that. But it's not as prominent, I feel like, in our cities, right, Rach? Like, I don't feel like we get that warm feeling. Like, there's tons of pubs.
It's more like, you call it more of like a dive bar here. It's kind of the equivalent of how we describe it. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's as held as high as it is in London.
Yeah, that would be the same in a city. You're like the more transient kind of group near train stations, and yeah, that kind of country pub, that vibe where you get your kind of roast dinners and things like that. But it's massive. I mean, we did some Christmas research, which we do every year, so it's quite nice to have a comparison year on year. And you've got like 7 in 10 people said they will go and do a booking at Christmas with 12 or more people. So like this kind of, and that might be work, that might be a large, if they're lucky enough to have that many friends, and then friends, family. So it really is big. It's a great time to get together. As I said, it's become more important given the last 2 years and not being able to do that.
That's awesome. All right. So something that I'm interested in, because we have our new integration with Creventa, did I say that right? Is like the pre-order thing in the UK. Mm-hmm. Like, we probably call it something different here. And I don't think it happens as much here. Like, there's like the party organizer will select, in the United States, it's more like the party organizer will select like a preset menu for like a buffet or something, but not this like whole pre-order thing. Can you talk a little bit about that and the stats you guys have for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's as I touched on, it's such an important time that therefore the person booking, I guess there's more pressure and you want to make sure you get it right. And therefore any assurances that you can get before that when you're going there, that food's going to be available, because I don't know if it's the same you guys, there's obviously been issues with kind of supply chain and being able to get food. So therefore, we've seen from other research that people going to venues and a menu item not being available, or long wait times, for example, with staff shortages, has increased. So anything that can kind of reassure the booker, because we've all had that where you're booking and people are going, oh, you've got the people who never book asking you loads of questions, and you want to make sure you're kind of guaranteeing a good time. So absolutely. Stuff like having a set menu or package, pre-ordering is really important. They were number 2 and number 3 when we asked them kind of what's most important when you're doing that group booking. Number 1 was being able to contact that venue directly, which really like also agrees with that kind of, you want to maybe give them a call before or just reassure yourself that everything's sorted. So it's just makes it less stressful. And I think we had kind of around a third of the people we spoke to said they're likely to make a group booking for Christmas. That's much higher with kids. It's around for those, not kids making the booking, but those who have kids. So potentially one for you when you go to Ireland. And I think that just also ties into this. you just want to make sure it's less stressful. They can have exactly what they want. So people are really happy to pre-order and just make that a more seamless process. I mean, I recently, like last week, went to this brilliant pub in Twickenham, which is where I'm from, called the White Swan, which is quite a small pub. And I booked over the phone, but actually they just sent a text before and just saying, just a reminder, like, are you arriving? Like, are you still confirmed? And it just, when you're booking and you know it's going to be busy, it's people have been planning for it, it's a special day. You just, anything that can be done to just make that person feel a bit more comfortable and know it's going to be a good day is absolutely great.
For those people listening that are customers or not customers that didn't know that we have the integration with Creventa in the UK. So basically how it works is our UK customers are now able to offer their customers pre-orders and allergen information for each guest in group bookings. And obviously after speaking to Lawrence, we know that during Christmas and peak seasonal periods, pre-order is almost 100% guaranteed for groups. So it's a great partnership for both our customers and our customers' customers in the UK. And if you want to learn more about that integration, you can go to tripleseat.com/partners and it will be listed there. So
I think that's particularly important as well. You mentioned around like the dietary requirements, and it's similar to people who potentially don't drink or a teetotal, for example. What we see from our research is that they are more influential when it comes to the booking, because it's more likely for them to have either a brilliant experience or a terrible experience, I guess. If you've got someone who's a little bit more ambiguous, or I'll eat whatever kind of thing, that they're not the ones that are the concern. So absolutely, you want to be able to reassure those people who have got those certain requirements that it's going to be there for them.
Yeah, it's a great concept. We don't have any, not that I know of at least, we don't have anything like that in the United States that offers, I mean, I'm sure that there's ways in Triple Seat to mark, you know, allergens and stuff like that, but not specifically for that. And that's a great point that somebody like Rachel and I, who don't care.
Yeah.
I'll eat anything. I have no allergy restrictions. I'm easy.
Yeah, I'm easy, but I get that. That's an interesting way of putting it, that like, they're the ones who could, you know, that event could be horrible for, because they don't have anything to eat or there's nothing for them to drink or, you know.
It's a tricky one finding that balance, isn't it? Because it's like when you ask people about tech ordering, like order and pay, like some people are like, yeah, fine, all good. Some people don't want it. Like you kind of, I guess we've all, as customers, we've become more demanding. Like some people want to browse a menu. Some people like to research it on Instagram or TikTok before other people do it when they get, some people just need that pressure of the server coming up to them and saying, what do you want? Obviously they can't decide before then. So it's making sure the venue's adaptable, I guess, in any way. It's really important.
I am the person that needs the pressure from the server.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough.
All right, well, let's move on a bit and talk about kind of the overall outlook of the Christmas season. So we're interested in hearing the outlook. I know you have some other research about consumer spend as we're heading into the holiday season. We know Christmas has kind of been disrupted over the past years and not everything has gone to plan, you know, pandemic, economic challenges, supply chain, a couple different variables along the way. So Lawrence, could you tell us kind of what the outlook looks like this year based on the research that you've been conducting over there at CAM?
Yeah, so we often ask around like their kind of consumer confidence or sentiment and what they're willing to spend, I guess. And again, this year in 2023, or Christmas versus 2022, 45% of them said they're looking to be more careful with their money. Only 13% said they're going to be less careful. Lucky them. That has slowed down slightly. So last Christmas, it was 58% said they were trying to be more careful. So it is slowing down. But I think, there are lots of pressures that's kind of being experienced around the world. And I don't think necessarily that means it's all bad for hospitality. I think one thing we kind of saw during the COVID pandemic was this idea that you would kind of reduce your big ticket items, if that makes sense. So it might be your holidays or things like that. And actually, you can kind of get your treats elsewhere, and actually going out and having a really nice meal is a really good treat. So previously, where you might have gone abroad, actually, you might change that now for going out for a really nice meal, which is less pricey, but still really, really enjoyable. So I think we have seen sort of the frequency in which people go out maybe come, but people are still willing to spend that money. Our founder, Katie, has this great kind of phrase called a weekend millionaire, essentially. So that idea that you might not go out during the week, but when you do go out, you're going to go big. So making sure that experience is really, really good, and anything that can really deliver on that experience is helpful, because they're not going out as much for your kind of casual Tuesday drink potentially. But this kind of leans into that booking and that element, because you're kind of really targeting those future events and have them planned. I mean, from the same Christmas research we do it actually in September, so way before Halloween, and a long way out, and 10% already have reservations in pubs and restaurants at the start of September, and 75% do their bookings and planning before they even get to December. So it just goes into, because this is such an important season, and although people are potentially looking to be more careful with money, that be more careful means they just want to do the right thing and go and make sure they have a good experience. So they're planning further in advance. In terms of specific things, we saw kind of Christmas gifts. There was no net change, so all the kids out there are still going to get the same amount of gifts, which is good news. But yeah, there was eating out in restaurants, pubs, bars, going out for food or drink has declined. There's been a net decline around that kind of 15-20% mark versus last year. But as I said, these are quite casual occasions. These are things where, oh, should we go out for a beer? These aren't your bookings and your big events. They're still happening. And a knock-on effect of that was people are more likely to consume food at home. So that actually had a net increase of 19%. So not the best story for hospitality, but when you add in the actual kind of the story behind it and the detail, it's really not too bad. And
Yeah. I mean, I think even if people were cutting back on their expenses a bit, Christmas time and the holidays is when the spend is going to happen. Like if you're deciding between night out on a Tuesday versus Christmas dinner, you know, whatever that term was before the weekend millionaires.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm definitely a weekend millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. Spending the money. Yeah. I mean, look, Christmas will always be big, and it's always the key period. I know in the UK, one thing that really affected it last year was we had, this sounds so negative, but like loads of train strikes. So people, when they make their trip into the city, weren't able to do that. It was around the key Christmas period, but it always is going to be the biggest revenue generating for most hospitality businesses. Obviously those with great pub gardens will do really well in the summer as well. It does get hot here. It's still the biggest period.
Definitely. I mean, we also have some data from our own CCC customers in the UK. So I have a note here about how CCC UK's customer data, we saw that from the golden quarter Q4 in 2021, there was an increase into 2022 by 21% when it comes to private events at this time of the year. So that is insightful to see. And I mean, what you were saying, those patterns are changing in just kind of the normal hospitality patterns, and less so in the event space. So that's still a promising thing for us and our customers, and people want to party. Come on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was the corporate events was the thing that really kind of suffered from the COVID period as well, because people didn't want to get unwell before going back to family. So like people are really, really hungry for that now. So yeah, God, I feel myself saying phrases that are almost silly season phrases. So yeah.
I know. But I mean, with all the things happening right now, that's with the industry, that's why it's important for people to lean into technology like CCC to help with the managing of all of these activities in the private event season. So
yeah, I would touch on that, because we do lots of research where we speak to operators and managers and landlords of whatever type of venue it might be, and it is we thought that kind of with consumer confidence and cost of living that you would see sort of a sharp decrease potentially, but actually we haven't seen that. People are still looking to go out, which is great, but what this means is that those running venues are still doing business, so it's tricky for them to be able to deal with other headwinds. So anything that can support with that or reduce time, like technology, is only going to help. Like I guess if they weren't as busy, it would allow them to potentially look at their tech stack or think more strategically. But actually, everyone's so busy still because customers are still going out. So anything that can sort of improve efficiency is absolutely welcomed for sure.
It's definitely the same here in the US. I feel like that's across the board for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So Lawrence, you worked with the Triple C team in the UK.
Yes.
To understand how venues manage the event and private dining booking process by talking to venues all across the UK. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so we did some research in August where we spoke to 150 venues, so operators, managers, decision makers, essentially, within these venues. So some people were predominantly management, or you had front of house, and that was kind of across different sectors, so hotels, restaurants, pubs, all kind of the key sectors there. These businesses like varied in size completely. So you had some that were sort of 20 covers to 200 plus covers. You had some that were single site. You had some that were over 100 sites. So really kind of broad across the sector. And yeah, it showed some really, really interesting stuff. I mean, for me, the main thing that came out of it, and I wasn't kind of expecting anything in particular, but was just how manual the process was. I think you had, I think a third of venues still relied solely on manual bookings. So that's huge. And the idea of you, if we just go back to what we said around like the importance of these Christmas bookings, the idea of you making that really important booking where you've got, I don't know what you call it, Nana, Granddad, Grandma, Grandpa coming to visit, and you need to make sure you've got the right food and the idea of making that really important booking where you might see them once, twice a year, and it being written down on a bit of paper or in a spreadsheet, which don't get me wrong, I love spreadsheets, but or anything like that, it's quite scary actually to think that the human error, I guess, could come into it. So yeah, a third of venues relying on that was quite shocking.
That's way more than I would expect. That's crazy. That's the entire reason why our CEO created Triple C. It's a literal human error on an event that he was planning.
and don't get me wrong, I think, and we did look at this, that those third of venues will be skewed towards maybe the smaller venues, as you can imagine, like your family run businesses. But if they're wanting to take advantage and challenge the big guys for spend and that experience, then they need to be able to have the same tech really to support with that.
I wonder if people think like at smaller, because we find that here in the US that sometimes in smaller venues or like mom and pop type restaurants is what we call them here, they're like afraid of the technology a little bit, like not afraid, but like, I'm not going to be able to learn how to use it, or like we don't have someone who will be able to use it, and they don't realize like how simple it really is. You know what I mean? Like it's actually much more simple than trying to organize like binders full of paper.
And that's one of the big challenges. Like when we've worked with or done research for other tech partners, that's one of the challenges that comes through is their lack of know-how, I guess, on how to do it. So for you guys, it's, as you say, it's getting that word out there in terms of how simple it is. Absolutely. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Do these venues track the bookings and the customer info? Because I feel like that's such a huge part of technology. And because like Triple Seat's also a CRM. So like if they're not using technology, like are they tracking that sort of thing or using it to their advantage, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, some do, we ask that 38% of operators are using a CRM to kind of track customers and prospects, and just over almost half, we're not tracking this at all. And once again, that is the smaller businesses. But I think, and I always use this analogy quite often, obviously coming from that loyalty card data retail background where they know you so well. Hospitality is for sure a long, long way behind. And I only came into this industry kind of 18 months ago. And that was probably my key takeaway is actually how kind of archaic hospitality was from an understanding their customer perspective. And there's many reasons for that. It's far more fragmented. I don't know how many kind of supermarkets you have in the US, probably a lot more than we do, but we've got four big supermarkets, I guess. So it's easier to build up a full picture of who they are. But absolutely, like if restaurants can understand who their customer is, understand preferences, tailored communications through a CRM, that is absolutely huge. And when you do have that experience with the occasional kind of hospitality venue, it really does hit well. And that analogy I touched on earlier was you know, if you go into like a local bar, so you said you're your dive bar, you go in every Thursday, for example, with a Thursday night football, and the bar manager knows your order, for example, and you don't have to actually say it. That is an incredibly rewarding and nice, although you probably, it's difficult to put a value on it. It's a really great experience because it's like, I feel welcome here. You know, the person sitting next to you. And I understand that's probably a bit of an archaic kind of small town view potentially, but that is essentially what technology can do though as well, if you do understand your customer well. So I think that's the end goal and trying to get there. We often use the example of, if you understand, if you know someone is a vegetarian, for example, don't send them a deal for like a steak. That's kind of your most simple understanding of it. But if you can do things to help nudge them for that additional visit, there's obviously the monetary benefit, but also can just be used really effectively to build kind of loyalty. And it's really, really good.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that aspect of the hospitality industry. I mean, those little moments go such a long way. Knowing your regulars, servers saying hello. And then, I mean, on the event side, if someone's inquiring with you and you're able to say, oh, we can do this again that you did the last time, or we know you like this XYZ part of your event before, we can do this again because we have that data. I mean, it goes such a long way.
100%. Definitely. Yeah. For events, I hadn't kind of thought of it in that side of it, but that's huge, particularly if you've, that's even more stressful if you've got like a work and you're okay, this worked, that didn't work. What can we do differently? For sure. That's massive.
I think sometimes people hear CRM and they think like the same as an event management software. They think like complicated, some like, you know, going to take forever to run these reports. And like with Triple Z, you can just go in. There's already formulated reports for you. You can pull different reports just by clicking a button, and it will give you, you can segment the data. It will pull out in a spreadsheet. You can segment it, send, you know, customized emails to people who maybe booked a holiday party last year, or like parties that were like, we have like a lot of those, like they do family parties. If you're a corporate party every year, you can follow up with a deal for this year and that sort of thing. Yeah. It's really easy and it doesn't take a ton of time.
I think hospitality is such an amazing industry, and to its core has been around for so, so long. And I think for me, that is probably one of the reasons there has been more, it's not resistance to it, I guess it's just a lack of awareness around it. So absolutely. It's kind of just trying to be more future thinking. And I think in terms of implementing that in the venues, it is around just saving time and those headwinds. So we kind of asked all the venues that we spoke to, how much time do you spend on this a week? And the average was 10 hours, like collectively, which if you think about it, is one person working there a full day, a long day, a full day. So, I mean, if you kind of think about that, that's absolutely huge, particularly when, I don't know if it's the same in the US at the moment, staff shortages is a huge issue at the moment in the hospitality space. So the fact that you can save a whole individual one day a week if you were able to streamline that, it is absolutely huge. And I think operators and landlords, whoever it might be, they do understand that. So we asked like, would that be important to you if we were able to streamline it? And 3 in 4 said yes. So you've got 75% of people saying, yes, I get it, it's important. You've got loads, the average person saying it's because it's 10 hours a week for us to do it. So the story is there. It makes absolute sense. It's a no-brainer. It's just, I guess, making it as easy as possible and taking away the fear element is the challenge, I guess.
For sure.
Technology isn't scary, people. It's 2023. This is the norm.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that does bring us to the end of our outline here. Are there any other points that you think would be important for our listeners to hear just heading into the festive season that we didn't cover?
Good question.
Do you have any fun festive season events that you're going to? What's your event calendar look like?
Yeah, it's good, actually. I've got my first one's Friday. So that is, it's the silly season kickoff. 3rd of November, every year, well, for the last 4 years, I've organized an event for about 60 people. It's kind of a combination of sports teams, so 5 different sports teams coming together. And yeah, I've everything you've spoken around pre-ordering, getting the old table numbers sorted and finding out what I need to plug into the screen and microphones and music and stuff. Done all of that. So that for me is the start of silly season. But yeah, in hospitality here in the UK, it's a very, very busy period. Maybe not quite yet, but in sort of 3 weeks is when all the events start. We're still working hard, but it's when all the events start. But yeah, that's it for me, I think. What about you guys?
Family stuff will probably kick off come like more in December. With some things like happening at the beginning of December. I think once Thanksgiving happens here, that's when it goes into full effect. But here in New York City, I mean, all of the holiday decor goes up after Thanksgiving. So this whole conversation, it's so interesting to hear how much sooner it happens for you over there. And you really are now in the mode.
Yeah. The funniest one was when I was in retail, like you do all the Christmas planning in June. So you'd have to sit in these meetings like boiling hot, sweating, and you'd be what should our shelves look like at Christmas and stuff. So that's the worst. But yeah, we're fully in. Like if you go to our supermarkets now or all the hospitality, all have kind of the chalk A boards outside saying book now. They've been up for a long time. So we really do get into it. I kind of didn't think we did go as hard as you guys, but maybe I'm just basing that off the big the street displays you guys have. So
you're right,
we don't have as much space, so yeah,
that makes sense. Ours don't go up till December, which is kind of weird because like, well, when does the tree go up in Rockefeller?
The tree in New York City at Rockefeller Center will go up like the days after Thanksgiving, and then okay. I mean like they're just in terms of the New York City events. I mean, I'm seeing the Rockettes the first week in December, like the Nutcracker Ballet is happening. All the lights go up, like the Saks Fifth Avenue lights and everything will be up until after Christmas. But I mean, we have our Triple C company holiday party in January. So it's really, yeah. I mean, I guess our London Triple C employees are having holiday season festivities starting now all the way into January, which is fun to hear about.
It is funny when you talk about it like that, that's almost 3 months.
That's
which is
so
just,
long.
It's quite funny, which if you actually think for like, I'd say 2 months is probably a fair reflection. That's a sixth of the year. Every year you're kind of like quite fully in Christmas mode. So and New Year, of course, as well. You guys go quite big at New Year, I presume, as well.
We do. Yeah.
And is that going out to pubs and bars, or would that be like in house or both?
It's both. Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the demographic. Like, my friends and I will do something out in New York City. I'm sure Kate and her family does something as well.
We do something at home. We have a big party every year where like our friends bring their family and like you know, but like. Yeah, we used to. I mean, when I was younger, I used to go out in Boston or New York, wherever I was living. I also kind of hate, Rachel knows this, I also kind of hate going out on New Year's Eve. I think it's a waste of money. So like, I'm also like on that side. Like I love New Year's Eve, but I think I'd rather be at a house party because it's just so expensive and it's freezing.
It does have little bit of overrated stereotype to it. I mean, like to go like bars here in New York that you could normally go to with no cover or just any like nothing crazy. They're like $300 tickets. So
yeah,
it's like, what's the point just for one night? Like, OK, we can go to the same place for $200 less next week.
Yeah.
Few hard seltzers. That sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather spend my money on expensive champagne and drink it at home.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Fair. So thank you so much for joining us, Lauren. We'll link out where everyone listening can find the resources that we discussed today in this episode in our description. And then we'll also link out to the CAM website so that our listeners can learn more about what you guys are about and find other resources from you there as well, also in the description. But yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and wishing everyone a happy Christmas season.
Silly season.
The silliest of silly seasons.
That's too early to wish people happy, but yeah, happy Christmas, everyone.